good deal. Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer.
Amen.
Amen. And what I do is I tape the Mass at St. Patrick's, and because I think Timmy Dolan's a really good preacher, so I like to hear his Christmas message. But I got home and found out that I have two grandchildren that live with me. One is 10 and the other is 2. And one of them lost the remote. So I was able to collect 3 remotes from around the house. They all look alike, and one can turn the TV on, one can do the volume, and the other one does the channel changing, except that I don't know which one's which. So it's kind of a process of elimination to finally, after a half hour or so, get on to the where I've taped to hear Timmy Dolan to discover he's sick with the flu. And so we have to keep him in prayer. So then I got to bed, and somehow this year the 10-year-old decided to be an alarm clock. And so we were kind of up early, and the 2-year-old woke up at the same time because he was up. And she took her first present, opened it, and decided that's all she wants. So she's home, Wilt refuses to open any of the other presents. And she's just playing with this thing, which is, you know how when your parents sometimes you spread out, she's got a little kitchen is what she's got. And so my daughter packed like the food in a separate thing and the dishes in a separate thing, makes it look like there's more presents. But all she has is the food. And so she keeps putting it in the little boxes. And so I don't know what's gonna happen when I get home. And then I usually, what's nice in having the 10-year-old around is usually I can go home and play with his stuff, you know. But this year he got a hoverboard. I don't think that's going to happen, you know. So, so I'm going to be sitting there putting little food pieces, you know. And, but, you know, so there's the old story with that. Didn't get much sleep, but there's an old story that the bishop had a dream that he was preaching, and when he woke up, he was. You know, I'm kind of like in that state of mind. Let me just share just a little bit the message, real message behind Christmas. I heard a sermon, I think it was yesterday, and they had this priest on to explain what Christmas is all about. And he gave probably the worst explanation I've ever heard of in my entire life. And I was ready to write a letter to his bishop, who's Timmy Dolan, and say, you need to send this guy back to take some courses, you know, because boy, did he miss it. And his basic argument was that here was Jesus came, and because all of us weren't getting along, we had war and violence and all this stuff, and so Jesus came to straighten us out, basically, and then went back to heaven. I said, no, that's not Jesus as Gandhi, you know. Jesus had nothing to do with that. And if he did, he didn't do a very good job because we're still fighting and still not getting along. So that couldn't have been his mission. You see, there's some part of that where we get into, unfortunately, that Jesus came and he's going to, you know, world peace and end suffering and sickness and disease and all of that's going to go away. Well, it's not true. If you live more a little while, there's still suffering. There's still sickness, there's still disease, there's still horrible heartbreak. You know, we've had 2 families here who lost loved ones right on the holidays. One lost her sister yesterday, you know, on Christmas Eve. And we know that'll always be a memory, won't it? Christmas Eve will never be the same. You know, and that's part of life, you know, that happens. And so I had to sit back and say, well, what did Jesus come about? Why did he come? And the answer is a little complex, but it's also rather simple. He came because the Father loves us. He came with that message that the Father loves us. He didn't come to say, get your act together. That's nowhere in the scriptures. He did come and say, stop being so darn religious and start loving one another. He did come and he spoke against hatred. He spoke against those things that divided us racially or ethnically. When the rule said, don't hang out with the Samaritans, he hung out with them. You know, when the rule said, don't go there or heal on the Sabbath, he did. You know, and he broke through all of that stuff because his entire message was that God loves us and wants us to come back to him. And that he's the way to come back. Now, how does he do that? Okay, well, we all know the cross. You know, but that cross is ultimately a story about the start back with the Nativity. That God comes to us and becomes us. He doesn't become like us. Like, that's Superman. He comes from a far planet away, you know, disguised as Clark Kent, you know, fights evil and crime and then returns. You know, that's not Jesus. He's not disguised. He's fully human. And he comes, and if you think of all the ways that God could have come, you know, I mean, Cecil DeMille could have done a great job with heaven open up and, you know, God coming down in a cloud or whatever, which is going to happen, the second coming. But for all the ways that he could have done it, what does he do? And again, this is the incredible love of God. Our God, the God of all creation, humbles himself and becomes an embryo. Gets his flesh from this 13-year-old little Jewish girl from the nowhere town, you know, and becomes completely human. And the first image we get of God, eye to eye, is a baby. Totally, completely helpless, dependent, weak, vulnerable, just like us. He becomes us. And he goes through life and shows us what it is to be really human. If we want to know, just said, what is really human like? Because most of us live less than human. You know, we use that phrase, I'm only human. No, I'm less than human. Depravity is less than human. Immorality is less than human. Killing babies is less than human. Hatred is less than human. Violence is less than human. That's living below. And we know it. What do we call somebody who opens a fire on 50 people at a concert? We say it's an animal. That animal needs to be locked up. Why? Because he's living less than human. Humans don't do that. See? Humans don't abandon their children. You know, animals do that. Humans don't go around and try to breed with everything that moves. Humans don't do that. Humans don't sell their children in the sex industry. That's not below, you follow me? It's below human. That's what sin is. Sin drags us down from what God really intends us to be, where we can really find what it means to be human, which is to be holy. It calls us to beyond, to live beyond ourselves. And what we find in Jesus as he goes through life is that all the things that we think would bring us fulfillment, he has none of it. No house, no car, no wife, no children, no grandchildren. And yet he lived the most content and the most fulfilled life of any person who ever walked the face of the earth. Not that he was against all of the other stuff. You see? But what he really showed us is that It's not happiness that's about life. You know, everybody who knows me knows I'm a big family guy. You know, I wish we could have had more children, and we couldn't, you know. I think five is a blessing. I think children are a blessing. But they really don't bring a lot of happiness. you know what I mean? They can bring joy, but there's days when we as parents can go right into less than human, you know, look at them. Or all the things that the possessions and things, and how many homes on Long Island, beautiful homes and beautiful cars with car payments of $700 a month, and yet inside that house is drunkenness and violence. 1 out of 10 families on Long Island struggles with addiction. And yet we have all the things. We live in one of the wealthiest counties in America. We hide behind our walls. And we even do it in our own person without those things. But Jesus enters into our life to say, here, look, I'm human. God said, I'm human. And this is what it means. And Romans says that each of us who come to Jesus, he's working in us to have his image formed in us. And where does he tell us that real joy is found? Where do we find that completeness, that holiness? To be really human is to really love. That love is the bottom line. These three gifts abide: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. And he tells us to love one another. That's what he leaves us with. And even as the church, we can't figure that out. We who have been given that message too often are fighting and arguing and gossiping and slandering. And thank God for confession, and because he taught us another thing, that forgiveness is really important. If we're going to be really human, then we really forgive. And we walk in forgiveness as he's forgiven us. As he's loved us, so we do it with each other. Really excited about this past season. Things that have happened, and three things that happened in this church that I believe are a move of God. The beginnings, you know. Kind of like, Elijah. Remember Elijah standing out and he sees the cloud off? It's kind of like cloud moments. And the first was, the children led us. And the children of this church and GEMS and Boys Brigade collected the love boxes. Some of you filled them in. You know, and if you're not familiar with them, you're a visitor, shoe boxes. And you fill them with toys and things. And they're sent overseas to children, given to children who have nothing. And this year, not only did the kids meet their goal, forget how many boxes they were going to do, they went over their goal by 100 boxes. Yeah. And they led that way. There's something that the student band, there's something about giving. And then we were able, thankfully, to see a little video that my wife put together about Africa and the micro-businesses and how these people are becoming self-sufficient and building churches and cathedrals and schools and orphanages and with so little that we had given them. And again, something happened that the offering from this church alone was something like 3 times or 4 times what we've ever given in the past. And in fact, the giving of this church was more than all the other CEC churches in America combined. God's doing something about love. And the third thing that happened, which I think is probably, didn't have anything to do with money, and yet it really, really was the core of the message. I think it was like the end of the sermon that God was trying to give us. It just drove the point home. As many of you know, we have a program called The Bridge. And The Bridge has been going on in, I don't know how many years now, but It's a program for men who are in recovery, either coming out of jail or need to transition to from one thing to the other. And it's an extremely successful program. We know that if men coming out of prison go through a transitional house, there's an 80% chance that they won't go back to crime. I mean, it's just that clear, that's how, and yet the government won't fund it. But here are these men who have been going through and had come to encounter Jesus, who had met him. And these men were takers, all of them. That's how you end up in a transitional house, if you're a taker. Everybody in jail is a taker. Some of you have lived with takers, you know what I mean? They just take, it's all about them, it's a selfishness, and it's just, you know, you have to hide things from them. You know, they just take. And they end up in jail, because everybody in jail is a taker. And yet the transition, though, when they met Jesus, something happens. And these men got together on their own, without the directors, without the clinical people, and they prepared vast quantities of food, lasagnas and pasta and turkey. And they went out and they fed the homeless. They gave. That's healing. That's that, if they can hold on to that, you see, that's the transition we try to do, is to go from a taker to a giver. And that is at the heart of Christmas. That's what Jesus came and showed us. You want to live a fulfilled life, be a giver. Be a giver, because it's at the core of what it means to be a lover, is to give. And to give that till it hurts so much that you're laughing, that you've given so much, that you've loved so much, and you then touch the joy of the Lord. That's the story of Christmas, that God is with us now, transforming us, working in us, so that what? We become God's plan of salvation. We're the plan. You say, what's God's plan to change the world? Here you are. I once had a very wealthy guy sit with me. I was at a wedding, and he spotted the collar, and he was an angry, you know, people are just angry at the church. Well, this guy was angry at the church, and I happened to be available, you know. and he came over, and he gave everything you've ever heard. Why doesn't the Pope sell some of the candlesticks and give it to the poor? And I went, are you going to buy them? Of course, the answer was no, you know. So he finally said, well, why doesn't God do something about the poor? What's God's solution to these children who are hungry? And I just looked at him and said, you. You're God's solution. And you're trying to dump your job onto me. And you're mad that I'm not doing what you're supposed to be doing. The fact is, I am doing what you're supposed to be doing. See, we're God's plan. Christ working in us to bring that love through our becoming givers and not takers. Let's stand. I'm going to ask the deacon to lead us in prayer.